This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
It's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and guess what that is time for? It's time for
Lefty Pinkos, people.
Yes, with Kath Duncan and Brian.
How you going?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. I'm pretty excited, Kath. We've got a very, very special guest in this week, an activist, and I love activists.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah. But do you want to tell people a bit about our guest today?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to be bringing into the studio my Northern New South Wales buddy, actually. I first met Jackie Brown up in Northern New South Wales, and she, like me, made the plunge to come to Melbourne rather than go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
To
choice.
Basically continue her activism, her education and her training down here. Jack's particular interest is really that nexus of sex and disability, where difference and, you know, diversity meet sexuality and sensual play.
Mm-hmm.
And in just a very short time down here in Melbourne, she's made quite a name for herself. In fact, when I had a guest fall over and I rang the very well-known Stella Young for a particular event, and I said, oh, my God, I need a really amazing person, you know, who's going to speak. And this is going back a few months. She suggested Jax. At that point, Jax had only been in Melbourne for, a few weeks.
And did Jax deliver? I want to know whether Jax delivered.
I already had her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. But tonight and live with us, Jax will be in the studio because she's just got a new grant, and we'll be talking about what she's going to do with that.
Jax is also a feminist too, which excites me. I mean, as a bloke, I like to kind of talk feminism and get all into that kind of stuff. So we'll be chatting, queer issues, feminist issues and disability issues with our special guest, Jax, tonight. But in choosing the music for this show, I thought, you know, we just had Chrissy Amphlett pass on last night.
Oh, goddess, yes.
And I thought we can't really go without playing a Chrissy Amphlett tune, and I thought I'd pull out her track, or the Divinyls track rather, Science Fiction. Tell us what your thoughts are on Chrissy's passing.
Oh, I was such a lucky thing because I'm so ancient. In the 80s, you could see Divinyls play every Saturday night down at the Forest Lodge Hotel in Sydney.
No,
and we used to go up there and have a beer, and she'd be prancing all over the place, and we'd just be, great band.
Yep.
And you had no idea then that she would go on to do these amazing things and be totally the Australian rock goddess, really, without peer, I would argue. I found out today I'd lived on the same street with her when she was practicing. Everyone was a musician and artist in those days, in Woomera Avenue in Darlinghurst with some other notables. We love Chrissy, and I'm very sorry to see her go, particularly around my age. It really makes you think about mortality.
Yeah, I kind of grew up in the 80s, and so I kind of was titillated by her as a teen. Oh, not as a teenager. I wasn't even a teenager at the time, but I was quite young, and so I didn't get to really experience or appreciate the brilliance that is Chrissy Amphlett. But nonetheless, I do love her. And love the legacy that she's left. So we're going to play a bit of Science Fiction by the Divinyls.
Yeah.
And we'll be back after this to chat to our special guest, Jax Brown.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah, that was the irreplaceable Chrissy Amphlett as part of the Divinyls with their track Science Fiction. May she rest in peace. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Brian here, joined with Kath.
Yes, and between us, we are without the Lefty Pinkos.
Lefty
Pinkos. I got
pinkos.
It right.
Yeah, no,
right.
We're Lefty Pinkos. We're not Pinky Leftos.
And usually in the show, we interview one person for and they come in and out of us through various musical tracks, which are, you know, they've selected or we've selected, and we try to go beneath the sheets, really.
That's beneath the sheets,
so to speak.
Yes,
expression.
We like that. Yes, we like that a lot. But as if you've just tuned in, we're going to be chatting to a wonderful feminist, queer, and disability activist by the name of Jax Brown. And I actually haven't met Jax until tonight because she's a friend of yours, Kath.
Yes,
give us a bit of an intro or background on how you know Jax.
Yes, and just before I do that, I'm just going to say it is likely tonight that we may be talking about sexual topics, and we may be talking reasonably graphically.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next hour until 9 o'clock, If you're offended by such matters, it's talking fairly honestly and openly about
candidly,
sexuality.
Frankly.
Yes, well said. Then it is best if you go and do something else.
Yeah.
For the next 50 minutes.
I mean, and yeah, if we do use expletives or bad language, it will be in context. We don't use it for the sake of using it, but yeah.
No, and we haven't had to say that before. Jax, I first met as we hung around the sort of queer crew up there in the Rainbow region in northern New South Wales. And I guess not long after I moved to Melbourne, Jax decided to move to Melbourne. Now, Jax is doing her degree at Southern Cross University, which is up there in Lismore. And she's particularly studying the intersections between queer and disability identities. Now, one of the things that I think is really amazing about Jax is that you, Jax, hi, hello,
hi.
You decided really early on that you wanted to be sort of like a sex educator or a sex positivist. How did that happen?
I guess because I feel like one of our biggest oppressions as people with disabilities is around our sexuality and around our bodies and sex positivity. And so I've tried in my own life to find ways to explore my body and sex with myself and other people that are really positive and that are empowering, for lack of a better word, for myself, yeah.
A lot of people get embarrassed about talking about sexuality in public, you know, whether they're, you know, disabled or not disabled. Mm. How have you kind of got over that sort of, uh-oh, you know, this is personal and deep, intense stuff yourself?
Well, I guess I view the personal as political, as a feminist, but also particularly as a person with a disability. So I see my sexuality and enacting that sexuality as a real political act. And so to speak about it and to do it and to talk about it and enact it in whatever ways I do publicly through performance is a political thing. So I kind of, that's kind of how I get the impetus to keep going and to be pretty out there about it.
Now, Jax, I love a definition. I love a dictionary. I love a thesaurus. And in your words, how do you describe a feminist, or how do you describe yourself when it comes to calling yourself a feminist?
Yeah, well, I first came into feminism when I was about 17, and I read The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. Everything's constructed. Gender's constructed, and power's trying to control us. How can we resist? And what methods of resistance do we have? And then, like a few years later, I think when I was about 22 or so, I thought, well, mainstream feminism doesn't really address the experience of disability, and it really doesn't address the experience of queer identity either. And so the intersections between all three of those things, I kind of found my way towards disability politics particularly, and then disability feminism.
What are some of the shortcomings that you found within feminism that didn't, I guess, cater for disability or queer activism?
I guess one of the struggles of mainstream feminists are to not be objectified, and quite rightly, like, they don't want to be looked on as a sexual object. But as I've said before, like, one of the struggles for people with disabilities is that we're seen as asexual and not viewed as sexual beings. And so our struggle can be kind of the opposite of mainstream feminism in that
point.
We kind of say, look at our bodies as objects of desire.
I know that you've spoken at Queer Collaboration, so you're the disability officer for Queer Collaborations. Now, if you don't know, that's this amazing conference that's held. It's sort of like different university groups, but there's also, to a certain extent, you know, some NGOs and other people involved and, you know, community groups and stuff. The groups meet in, you know, a different city every year. Now, Jackie's done that and run other sort of workshops at conferences as well. What sort of questions come up? What sort of reactions come up from these people who are, you'd assume, fairly educated about isms and their belief systems around disability and sexuality that you've heard? Is it mainly positive?
Yeah, it's getting more and more so. Like, I've been involved for a number of years, and I've found particularly, like, the last couple of years, disability is starting to get on people's radar in terms of it's a social construct as well, just the way that gender and race and all those kind of other isms are constructed. And so people are starting to kind of look at the built environment and see the stairs and go, how can we make our conference spaces more accessible? But I also think that, yeah, people still have quite a negative view of the non-normative body and tend to kind of think that there's something inherently wrong with it and wrong with us. But yeah, slowly I'm kind of breaking through, ramping one mind at a time.
So. Beautiful.
I like that.
You're tuned into Joy 94.9, Lefty Pinkos. Before we cut to some commercial breaks or some ad announcements, rather, we've got a few texts here from the lovely Johnny. He's a bit of a serial SMSer, which is great. I love people getting giving us feedback. But he says, "Hi, Kat and Duncan. Love the show. Keep talking, Kat. I love your voice and opinions." Loves Johnny. And then he kind of retorts and says, "Sorry, I meant Kat and Brian, Johnny." But if you've got any questions you might want to shoot to Jack or Kath or myself,
comments,
you can SMS us in on 0427 JOY 949. You can call Gordon, who's on reception, on 1300 JOY 949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. We'll be back after these short announcements.
Listen to us right around the nation.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9. This is Brian and Kath. How are you going there, Kat?
Keeping on top of it. It's quarter past eight here. Isn't this exciting? We're talking to Jax Brown tonight. Jax is a spoken word performer, originally hailing from northern New South Wales. And her big thing is sex positivity, and especially for people with disability. Jax, why Melbourne? Why, like me, did you leave, you know, the goddess's own country and come south?
I guess I grew up in Lismore, so I was there since I was 14. And even though it does have a pretty big queer community for a regional town, once you've slept with a few ladies, it's kind of pretty difficult to avoid Rexes.
It's the largest regional queer community outside of the cities. Is that right?
Yes. But it's kind of a bit of a sea change space, I think, in that a lot of older gay and lesbian or queer identified people move up there to kind of get a bit of the country lifestyle. So there isn't many younger queers, really. So I kind of moved away to explore the ladies of the big city. And do more spoken word stuff down here as well.
Yeah, we'll get you to pluck out some spoken word stuff for us. But, I mean, how's Melbourne treating you anyway? Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. I think I moved down at a really good time of year, so I haven't had to deal with winter yet. We'll see how I go when that happens. And I'm dripping wet.
Brace yourself.
Yeah. But I've noticed that you've been really active in getting involved with different groups like Weave Movement Theatre, the spoken word group that we run called Quippings, not we in terms of Joy, but me, myself and a few other people, and also appearing at other sort of comedy events and stand-up events. Mm. And all that, I guess, has come from, you know, you've come from really quite a small place. Mm. What gave you the guts to hit the big city?
Well, I've got a really amazing friend and housemate. And she's been a spoken word poet for 10 years. And so she was like, "Yay, we're almost finished uni. Let's go down to Melbourne and really get into this and get on the scene and do some spoken word stuff." And then particularly with the disability theatre, that's been something I've wanted to do for ages. And so it's a really beautiful thing to be able to get up really early and mission across the city and go and move my body in subversive ways with other interesting people.
Who is this amazing housemate? Or can we give them a plug in terms of them?
They go by Reverse Butcher as their stage name. And they perform around Melbourne. They've got a feature coming up at the Dan
O'Connell?
This month.
Is that the Dan O'Connell?
Yeah, the Dan O'Connell.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And now, Jax, you've actually applied for this this forum or conference. I'm not sure what it is actually, but it's called the Leaders for Tomorrow. Tell us what is that?
Well, it's this government grant that basically they give you 12-month mentorship to realise whatever goals you want to realise for yourself to be a leader for community as a person with a disability.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
And so is that like money or funding across a certain 12 months, or is it...
I think it can be pretty much anything. They won't send you overseas, but they will kind of help you get into TAFE if you need to do that. Mm-hmm. Or part of what I want to do is trying to start work with NGOs for women with disabilities.
And how'd you go about applying for that, or what? Yeah, how'd you find out about it?
I found out about it because I was part of a focus group for Women with Disabilities Victoria. And one of the people there said, "Oh, there's this really interesting thing coming up. You should just apply." And I was kind of like, "Oh, I don't know if I can. You know, I'm really ethically queer, and I would really want to put that as one of my major things. One of the goals I want to look at is the intersections of gender and sexuality in disability identity. How am I going to word that to a governmental organisation in a way that they will go, 'We want to give this subversive person over here some money and some time.'"
I can give that kind of stuff to them. They need to hear it. And so you got selected, Jed. Do you know how many people get...
I think it was 200 all up, and in this round there was 40.
Fantastic.
Wow, well done.
Yeah.
We read the application, and I like the way you put that your goals are really quite clear, that you wanted to do this, be accredited as a trainer, to be able to run workshops about these specific interest areas. And it was just all there. I couldn't see how they could have refused you, really.
Mm. Fantastic. And Jax, we're actually got a break for a song now, but in selecting the music for this particular program, you've suggested that you like PJ Harvey and Annie DeFranco. So we've pulled out a few tracks, and I'm actually going to play PJ Harvey and Tom York's track, The Mess We're In, and then we'll be back after this song to chat more to Jax Brown.
So. You're with Joy.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
Oh, yeah, the longing, mournful moans of Tom York with PJ Harvey there. Oh, I just need a moment there, Cass. So can you please take over?
Absolutely. 23 past 8. And look, I'm really excited by this SMS message. I think this is our furthest away listener. I'd like to know if there's any further than Lismore. How about that? Here we go. Listening from Lismore. Go, Jax. Release your tits back into the ocean. I understand there's a bit of a story behind
this
poster.
What's this tit story?
Well, this is my friend Tanya. And she is an amazing poet in Lismore, and she has rather large boobs, and she does a poem about releasing them back into the ocean. So,
oh, how gorgeous.
Yes, she's invoking the images of her breasts in my mind.
Well, nice. do feel free to send us any such texts of this nature, 0427JOY949. And, Jax, I understand you have a little piece for us.
Yes.
That, go for it.
Well, this is continuing the theme of sauciness on air. It's called Intersections. I have a secret. I get turned on by intersections. It's not the flashing lights or the little green and red men, the swish of fast cars or the rhythmic beep, beep, beep commanding me to cross. No, it's right under your feet. You miss it, walk all over it, oblivious to its eroticism. It does nothing for bodies like yours. But mine? Oh, it sends vibrations all over me, up and down my spine. It's for the blind, they say. That's the official line. Those little bumps telling innocently of an intersection, a curb. But us wheelchair-using crips know its erotic underside. Oh, it's a federally funded public vibrator, a DIY sex toy just begging for use. It takes all my self-control not to casually move my chair back and forth beside you, rolling myself ever so slowly over and over. Those little round raised circles, as we wait like good upstanding citizens for the lights to change, or on the platform for a train. Oh, train stations were built just to tantalise and tempt us with their entire raised rows of circles of sensuality, highlighted in yellow, just asking to be taken under my wheels. So you'll never see a cripple crossing the road in the same way again. And feel compelled to offer unsolicited assistance, knowing now what your surprise, powerful push from behind is really assisting in.
Oh,
that
fantastic.
That is amazing. I've got this sort of freaky story in relation to that, Jax. I actually was on a country trip about 3 weeks ago, driving to the country with my cousin and a friend of ours, and that particular story, that spoken word piece came up as something that, yeah, like, I don't know where it came from or why it came up in conversation, but it's amazing to, yeah, that's been referenced on a country trip by me a few weeks ago, and you're reading it for us now. That's amazing.
It's a very unexpected piece. It's one of those pieces where you don't really know what's going to happen. And I guess I felt the same way Jax does. Well, I've seen her do one performance where you're wearing a purple dildo. Is it purple?
Mm.
Why did you select that dildo for that particular performance?
Well, it's quite large, and I wanted something pretty visible.
Yep.
And I was doing a piece about International Day of People with Disabilities being a wank fest because it uses a lot of normative language and really doesn't address the need for social change for people with disabilities. So I needed to do some public wanking, really, and I needed something large to draw attention to my wanking.
Is that in the sense of just like this token day almost? Is that how you feel about
yes.
it? Or is it like it just makes people feel good about themselves or something?
It really normalises the it kind of others disability instead of making giving us kind of a more political basis for understanding our identity. It kind of goes, everyone's different, everyone's differently abled, and I really have problems with language that silences the perspective of disability being about politics and yeah, so I needed to wank in response.
Fantastic. Oh, perfect.
If you've tuned in, you're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Lefty Pinkos, and we're talking, we've got language talk, actually. We're sort of using expletives, and we're talking dirty with Jax Brown, our special guest. We're going to be back, though, after these short announcements.
Listen to us right around the nation.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Joy, with Kath Duncan, and our big buddy here, Brian. Ah, this is Lefty Pinkos. We're talking to Jax Brown. Now, Jax is a performer and a sex positivist. Jax, I did a sexuality workshop up in Sydney at the Femme Conference, going back a few months, and people, I thought, were really quite kind of curious about what it would be like to play with a non-normative body. I didn't find that offensive. I found it really interesting. Do you get offended by that? Like, is that what we call objectification and stuff, or is that, like, how do you feel about it when someone wants to know about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on the situation and the person. And a lot of my experience of when I don't like it is when I'm out having a few drinks with friends and I get like a really drunken dude that comes up to me and goes, so do you have sex in your wheelchair, and wants to touch my legs and be just really inappropriate. And like, I have no intention of taking him home, and he probably would freak out anyway. But like, yeah, so it's fine if it's someone I'm into and they're into me. I think, you know, I've had a lot of experience of being the only creep in the bedroom, and I think in some ways there's power play in playing around with your body and someone else's and kind of exploring different things. But yeah, I think it depends on the situation and the person and their level of intoxication, and maybe mine sometimes as well. I don't know. Yeah.
Can I ask you about your love life?
It's good.
I know, I'm a disgrace. Oh, really? What's happening?
Things. It's,
things are happening.
It's active and it's enjoyable, and I'm seeing somebody, and that's really nice.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. So for you, do you find, like, some people come up to me and they go, I'm a disabled person, Kath, and I've never had a relationship. Mm. And other people come up and say, I'm a disabled person, and, like, I'm a complete whore. Like, in a way, have you been able to kind of comfort people or give people any advice yourself about what they might be able to do to get a bit more of a love life? Because it is fairly common that a lot of us do not have a love life, isn't it?
I know, and that's really, really sad. And I've spent a lot of time, particularly this year, thinking about what makes me have the confidence to put myself out there and to go out there and kind of ask people out on cute dates, or say, hey, I really think you're spunky. Do you want to go and have some fun? Like, what gives me that confidence? And I've had knockbacks, and particularly I think a lot of people with disabilities do get more knockbacks than the average person in terms of, no, you're a weirdo, you're a freak, I couldn't envisage doing that. So like, what makes me keep kind of putting myself out there and having sex positivity and having sex and having the confidence to do that? And I think part of it is I just love sex and sexuality and sensuality, and I can't help myself. But part of it also is that I come from a pretty alternative family. Like, my parents are hippies, and so I've had that kind of alternative focus in life, and I haven't been kind of pushed into a box. And so my reaction to disability has been to get more radical instead of getting conservative as a response to oppression. And I think for a lot of people, they just get scared and they just don't want to rock the boat any more than their body already does. And so, yeah, they kind of, yeah.
There's a great, I guess, zine, it's probably called Dude in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. It's produced from Melbourne, made in Melbourne, and it's around transgender issues, or the premises of it has been to raise awareness between, I guess, the broader community around issues around, like, having sex or, you know, cruising trans dudes. Is there any kind of resources out there that kind of might look at how to raise awareness among able-bodied community in dealing with disability, or understanding sexuality and disability?
There's not much, is there? There's a few nice photos.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to say go to this website and your mind will be blown and you'll, you know, want to shag the next sexy person with a non-normative body, but there really isn't anything out there at all.
Like, not really, not much.
No, not at all.
It's a bit produced in the States through a few individuals.
Yeah.
But there's not such a social movement around sexuality, really.
No.
And so I guess, yeah, and as a community of, do you have forums online or like that where you can talk about your sexuality and disability and how you empower yourselves with that stuff?
I have kind of done it in the past, but I find, to be honest, I'm a bit more radical than most people with disabilities just because of my upbringing and because I'm queer and all that. And so I tend to get myself in a lot of trouble when I post things. Like, I remember years ago I posted something about should disability be seen as queer? Like, should everyone with a non-normative body, are they having queer sex? Because our bodies are different and we're doing different, interesting things. And I got into a lot of hot water with this straight disabled men going, I'm a straight man, don't call me queer.
Don't call me queer, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so I tend to try and find the other weirdos that think in terms of disability politics similarly to me, like Kath, and hang out with them.
Well, and I was about to say, there's not many of us. There's something about, particularly having been born different and growing up different, where in order to make yourself not look like such a freak, you're meant to be straighter than straight, more decent than decent, and more normal than normal, particularly around sexuality. Like, we should both be married with children by now to the same people we went out with when we were 16, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so it is actually really hard to find people you can share alternative way. Well, we just, you know, have the same sexual options that everybody else has. Do you know what it is? Yeah. And you can be looked down upon in your community for standing out. Like, if you cop that from other disabled people, like, don't talk about that, Jackie, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, people getting really uncomfortable. People with disabilities and kind of, I think part of that, and I've had to try and think about it to work through how I feel about that, is because it highlights how bad they're feeling about their sexuality or how bad they're feeling about their body because of their experiences or lack thereof. And so when I'm really out there and kind of in your face doing really kind of interesting poetry like I just did or whatever, that kind of makes them feel like just a bit too confronted with their own past. And so I can cop, negative reactions. And I've also been told by people, you know, you should stay with this person forever because at least you've got somebody, even if I'm really unhappy in the relationship. And it's like, well, no, actually, I want to explore life and I want to find someone I really connect with. And,
Are you a monogamist or a polygamist, or how do you view yourself
This year, moving down here, I've tried to have a bit of a dabble in polyamory just to kind of... Every queer is doing it. Why not have a go? I'm in a big city.
The pressure.
I know. But actually, I think I'm a monogamist. And it just sits better with me. And I love being really romantic. And not that you can't be when you see multiple people. But it just, it's not for me really, I don't think. But nice coffee dates are fun. And I've had lots of really interesting debates with a lot of poly people. And
Can I ask, do you disclose? Say you're on some chat site, or what's that girly one? Is it Viber or, you know, I don't know, some girly thing. If you're just trying to pick people up, do you disclose that you have disability or not?
Yeah, totally. I put it out there straight away, and I put it out there in ways that I'm really comfortable in. So I'll talk about being a performance poet. I'll talk about what I've studied at uni in terms of disability and sex, and use language that I find really interesting for myself. And then, you know, like, I think 80% of people take a look at my profile or, you know, and just go, whoa, that person's going to be super kinky. I don't know what they want to do in bed, and bail. But
do you have a picture with the purple dildo?
No. I keep that for after the first date.
Okay, in the private collection,
Because that's another big debate too, is do you tell people, because there's this fear that if you come up front and tell people that they're going to go, that you're going to meet them and they're going to go, and run screaming off in the other direction.
Yeah, but I don't want those people. Like, I would rather get the 10% or the 2% or whatever percent I get that are really cool, that are really interested in my politics, that are really interested in doing funky things and thinking outside the box and being political about, you know, disability and also queer identity, and I can really engage with and have fun with, than try and deal with these people that are conservative and aren't going to deal with difference. So, I put it in people's face and then they can decide whether they want to.
Beautiful.
Ah, we're getting very ranty and very pinko-y and very lefty here with Lefty Pinko, myself, Kath Duncan, and Brian Andy, coming up to 20 to 9. Yeah, with Joy.
We're going to play some more music, and as mentioned earlier, Jax, our guest, is a bit of a fan of Annie DeFranco, and I got you to choose a track from Annie's album. What's it called? The Puddle Dive.
Yep.
You've chosen God's Country. Do you just want to give us a bit of an intro, Jax, about why you chose that and what the song means to you?
I was surprised that Joy didn't have all of Annie DeFranco's music.
Ah, shameful.
Yeah, we've got a really kind of limited Annie DeFranco collection, which is kind of strange for a GL or gay and lesbian radio station.
But anyway.
But anyway.
Yeah.
What do you like about this one?
Well, I just picked it because I like the intro music and, yeah, I like all her stuff. So have a listen and see what you think.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
Oh, deadly. That was Annie DeFranco with God's Country, a special request from our special guest, Jax Brown. We've got an SMS, another one from Johnny, who says, you are naughty. I love your work. I'm listening to Jax too. Love, Johnny. Kiss, kiss. If you want to send us a message, you can do so at 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. But I've got a disclaimer. I want to say that we're going to be talking dirty for this next
sort
segment.
Sort of right now. Yeah, I think we're going to... Well, certainly
Jax,
Jax is going to talk dirty. We're just supporting the dirtiness. Now, Jax, I guess what I want to know is what are some of your strategies for sex positivity? And, you know, tell us a few that you use yourself.
Yeah, well, I think an important thing for me has been sex toys and having a bag of tricks when I bring somebody home to go, let's have some fun. And it makes it kind of more interesting and more engaging getting around. Maybe it's the first time they've been with someone with a non-normative body and they're kind of a little bit like, whoa, what's going to go on here? And if I bring out all interesting things to play around with, it makes me feel exciting and comfortable because I know my toys really well and I know my body really well, and it makes them relax as well and have some fun. So, yeah, I really love sex toys, but I also really love masturbation and having an ongoing relationship with my own body that's really positive. Yeah, and that feels really good.
It's so appropriate now that Chrissy Amphlett's passed on and she taught us all how to, you know, love yourself and
touch yourself. What a great gift. Jax, I have to ask, and you can refuse to answer, what's in the toy kit?
Nervous giggles, but please, Jax, tell
just
us.
Just a couple of things, not all of it, maybe.
Dildos, of course, and vibrators. But I've got, like, penetrative vibrators, but also non-penetrative ones as well, which I think is really important for women. Like
non-penetrative, what's that?
Ones that you can just use on the outside.
I think those ones look like a little molar, like a tooth thing, that you sit on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, there's different kind of shapes ones. But, yeah, I think they're really important because then, like, a lot of women feel like, oh, vibrators are going to involve penetration and they mightn't like that or whatever. So I think having a variety of things that you can play with is great and fun.
Oh, yeah. Always thinking of others.
Yeah.
It's very special, isn't it? Hey, can I just ask you, you just touched briefly on masturbation. Mm-hmm. Didn't it? That's a double one. Anyway, you just touched there briefly. And I guess I want to know, what is the power of that sort of self-love, do you think?
Well, I think it's really important, like, and particularly for women, like the amount of, like, anecdotal conversations I've had and a couple of lovers and whatever that haven't really had the confidence or had the toys to explore their own body and learn what they want. And I think that's really important when you're going to bed with somebody to go, this is, I know my body and I can ask you for what I need right now. And for me, having a really healthy masturbation kind of life allows me to keep that going. And so, yeah.
I think it makes you sexier too if you're getting off regularly.
Yeah. And if you're not dependent on anyone else to get you off, like, if you take ownership for your own sexuality, even if you have a lover, like, my sexuality is my responsibility, so, and I can take care of that, and I think that's really important. It stops you putting pressure on other people or feeling pressured yourself if you can go, hey, honey, you know, go in the other room.
Self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
I mean, you've actually run workshops too, Jax, I understand, that I guess about, I will put it out there and to use the word, fuckability. Mm-hmm. I mean, tell us a bit about what you present in those workshops and why you present them and what you hope to achieve with them.
Mm. Well, fuckability is a term I came up with myself. And incidentally, my mum's a screen printer, and so she screen printed up all these patches, which I've got on jackets and T-shirts.
Can you get
stuff.
A T-shirt? Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it's for me, it's about putting disability and sex together in a really out there, really positive, in your face kind of way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I wear it around, and I often forget that I've got it
wearing
on.
It.
Yeah, and see people like real estate agents, and they're like, whoa.
What the?
Yeah. Fuckability, the workshop itself, I begin by looking at the social construction of disability, which is the idea that, you know, disability is socially constructed through an ableist environment, which excludes people. And then through that physical exclusion comes stereotypes of disability, so that we're in need of help and pity because we can't get places, instead of looking at how the environment creates those stereotypes in people's minds by excluding us.
Yep.
And then it goes into looking at sex and disability, so like being the only crip in the bedroom and making out in public, is that a subversive act when you've got a disability because everyone's going to watch you?
Mm-hmm.
So is like getting it on in the cheese aisle in Woolies with my woman, is that like a protest, or is that just because we really want to get it on?
Yep.
So I look at that, and then I look at like the intersections between queer and disability identity, and like what are the similarities between the queer movement and the disability movement? What can we learn from each other? And then how to like radicalise queers around non-normative bodies.
And where have you run these workshops, or what sort of audiences have these been presented to?
Yeah, well, NALSA, I go to NALSA, which is the Network of Women Students Australia conference, which is a mm-hmm. feminist-based conference, and I've run it there. And I've also run it at Queer Collaborations a number of times as well, so that's a queer student base. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And at Monash the other week, actually.
Yeah. Are you a student at Monash?
Or? No, they just invited me to come do it.
Out that way, cool. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We're chatting to Jax Brown. We've got an SMS. I'm not sure who it's from. It's just an anonymous one, but it says, "You rock, Jax. Any performances coming up? Have you got anything?" You've given us some spoken word, but do you have any plans to present more anytime soon?
Well, in June, my housemate is starting up a monthly thing at the Hares and Hyenas, which is called mm-hmm. Controverse.
Yeah.
And so I'll be performing there. And that is an open mic, so anyone can come along and read out works, which is good because it's not going to be a slam, so we don't have to kind of compete with each other. We can just get up there and say what we want to say into a microphone.
Beautiful. So, yeah. So in June at the Hare Hole or Hares and Hyenas in Fitzroy. We'll be back after these short announcements.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah, you're tuned into Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. That was PJ Harvey. I'm just having a bit of a Tom York moment here, moaning around about it. I think that's such a beautiful song for you know, I often get in my bedroom with my hairbrush or something like that and just
sing into it.
Rock it. And, Jax, you go to the milk bar with that one, yeah?
Oh, I take it shopping with me sometimes, yeah. It makes Woolies more exciting.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, PJ, I love her.
And talk about more exciting. We just had this very exciting message from a listener who says, was driving home and searching the radio for something to listen to and ended up on Joy. Never listened before, finding the chat and music great. Been ages since my last Annie concert. Oh, yeah, and I'm straight. Thanks, Nat. Well, thank you, Nat.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
That's so nice to get a really lovely message like that. 7 minutes to 9 here on Lefty Pinkos with Kath and Brian and our special guest, Jax. Now, Jax, I know that you're a bit of an academic and you've got your degree sort of, you know, it's nearly in the can and you've got other study ahead of you and stuff. And some of that has been about disability. I just want to know, like, what can happen to academics is that they can end up producing sentences that no one wants to listen to. And yet you've been able to take some of that sort of academic stuff around disability and diversity and stuff and combine it with being like a poet sort of thing. How do those different parts work together for you?
Well, I guess I just got really frustrated with sitting home in front of my computer and, hanging out by myself writing these giant essays. And I thought, how can I make my activism more exciting for me and more exciting for other people as well? What can I do that's kind of public, that pushes my boundaries in terms of making my body an object, but making it an object on my own terms? And so I started doing spoken word stuff, and I really found that helps, and that's really interesting and exciting for me, and it's a bit of a buzz as well, yeah.
Wow, so that seems fairly seamless. You know, I nearly got my PhD and nearly disappeared up my own. Anyway, I could have been a contender. It's 6 minutes to 9. Now, speaking of further study, one of the things you want to do is sort of like solidify up your training background for this grant process you're starting. When does it kick in? When will it start?
Well, it started now, and at the end of May, we're going to Sydney for 2 days for a retreat. And in that time, we get given a mentor for the year who helps us realise whatever goals we've set in the application process. And the exciting thing about it is that I get 12 months worth of help. But then after that 12 months, I get to be a mentor to some
groups
as well. So I'm hoping that I go there and they see what I look like and what I'm like, and I get the most radical interesting people in the room, and I get to kind of radicalise them around stuff as well. So that's really exciting. Not only do I get to kind of realise some of my goals, but I get to radicalise others. So that's great.
In such a kind of a fairly small field, I guess, you know, sexuality and disability, what sort of mentor would you like?
Oh, someone with really interesting hair, but yeah. We'll see what I get.
I don't know that they're going to get any more interesting than Jackson's. How would you describe her hair, Brian?
It's like a cockatoo.
Yes.
But pink or red, yeah. Orange, flame, like it's like a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's wearing a black furry jacket as well, and which rainbow thermals.
Adds to the allure.
Yeah, yeah. It's hopefully just quite a look. Whoever they are, they will probably not be cooler than you.
We're going to have to wrap up, though, unfortunately.
We do.
We're going to make way for the catching up crew who are on from 9 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. But I just want to say thanks, Jax, for coming in and being our special guest this week on Lefty Pinkos.
Yeah, you rock, and your friends think so too.
Thank you very much.
And, we're going to go out with some sponsor messages, but after that I thought I'd play a little...
Oh. We should tell them who's going to be on next week.
Yeah, we should, and I'm going to sort of get my head around how to pronounce this one. We've got the wonderful Nick Demopoulos in next week to chat about his John Party, which he's presenting this Friday at New Guernica, and then he's actually kind of working on a Trough X Party, which is going to be presented at Club 80 in a few weeks' time. So Nick's going to come in and talk to us about his parties, what he gets into, and
I'm going to ask him about his sex life.
Oh, great. I'll be all ears for that one. But thanks for tuning in. We're going to have to go now, but thanks again to Jax, and we'll see you next week on Lefty Pinkos from 8 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.